Test, test, microphone check. Hello?
Good morning, everyone. Ooh, too loud. Should we start? How are you doing? Good to see you too. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is conference coordinator. Okay, Ken, are you the presenter for today?
No, I am not.
Okay. All right. Well, you're just going to hear silence until others join. I'm going to pull the other line to see why there's so much echo on there.
Okay, sounds good from my end.
Right, because I muted them.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Excuse me, this conference coordinator?
Good morning. Do we have Ken Bauer on the line? Who else is on the line?
There's no one else on the line. Okay. Are you ready for us to dial out to Rafiq?
If you could do that, that would be great. If there are other people to be dialed out as well?
Nope, just to him.
Just okay. Him.
But there is a very bad echo from your line.
Operator, sorry, this is Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi. Rafiq has told us that he can't be dialed out to today for this meeting. He's got another engagement.
Okay. There's a very, very bad echo on your line, Glenn. Can you hear that?
Okay, we'll get that fixed.
We'll try to get that fixed. Thank you. So
okay.
We don't need
to. Do you want us to dial out to you? Because sometimes that fixes it.
What did she say? No, I'm not on the phone. I'm in the meeting right now. So do you hear echo when I talk?
When I talk. So if Ken talks, there's going to be a very bad echo, especially on the recording.
Operator, we actually tested this earlier internally, and we weren't getting any echo. Are you using a headset?
Okay, I'm letting you know on the recording you're going to hear the echo. You can't hear it, but we can. And we've manipulated the lines on our end to the best of our capabilities. Sure.
Okay, that's fine. We're recording locally as well, so.
Okay, are you ready for us to start the recordings?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Okay. One moment. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, parties may disconnect their lines. Speakers, you may begin.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, everyone. Buen día para todos. Nice to talk a lot in Spanish, so my English may be lazy this morning. As you know, as maybe you already heard about, Chuck is sick. He's in the hospital. Unfortunately, he will not be able to join us at least this morning. Maybe we will see what happens today. He has a meeting with his doctor during the morning. And so we will handle the session of today with Stefan. Also, he arrived late early this morning, and he will join us in a while. So we are recording the session. We also have a transcribed session. We have people online. We have Ken Bauer. And it could be good if we can present ourselves, who's on the table. So, and also when you talk, identify yourselves for the recording purposes, for transcription purposes, and for people who is not here with us, so they know who's talking. Could we start with Adrian?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Adrian Kinderis. I'm from the Registrar Stakeholder Group. I'm not sure about formalities this morning, but I'm about to email the list and update my statement of interest as Oz Registry International company that I am CEO for has recently achieved Registry Stakeholder Group Observer status, and I'll update that and send that around. Thank you. Do I really sound like that, by the way? Because that's horrible.
It doesn't sound very... It sounds very loud, at least for me. It's like echoing. Thank you very much, Adrian.
I sound very Australian. I don't know what that is, but I'm not pronouncing my words properly. I'll try Spanish. Thank you.
Oh, please do that. Would be very nice for some of us. Thank you, Adrian, and please send to Glenn the update of your statement of interest.
Good day. Chris Japlow, Vice Chair of the Business Constituency.
Marilyn Cade, Chair of the Business Constituency.
Debbie Hughes, Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group.
Christina Rosette, IPC.
Jeff Newman, Registry Stakeholder Group.
Wolf Knoben from the Internet Service Provider Constituency.
Jamie Wagner, ISPCP.
Glenda Saint-Jury, the GNSS Secretariat.
Olga Cavalli, I'm a non-com appointee to the GNSO and Vice Chair.
Julie Headland, ICANN Staff, Director of ESSEC and Policy Support.
Marika Konings, ICANN Staff.
Margie Milam, ICANN Staff.
David Olive, Vice President for Policy Development Support.
Liz Gaster, ICANN Policy Staff.
Rosemary Sinclair, Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group.
Alan Greenberg, ALAC. GNSO liaison from the ALAC.
Edmund Chung, Registries Stakeholder Group.
Mike Rodenbaugh, Business Constituency.
John Berard from the Business Constituency.
Thank you very much, everyone. We have until 10 this morning, then we have a break. We have a session about development of criteria for initiating new projects. As you may recall, we at the beginning of November, if I'm not mistaken, we ended up a discussion, or we just started a new discussion, about the, how to prioritize our work, how to use our resources the best way we can, which projects are more prioritizable or not than others. And we did, if you recall, we did an exercise in Brussels. Some of us thought it was maybe useful. Some of us, others of us, thought that it was very, very complicated and very long. So the idea of this session today is to exchange some thoughts about how to prioritize the work in the GNSO, if it should be done through a formal process, if this formal process should be done once in a while, once a year, two or three times a year, if we should use the same process that we used in Brussels or maybe modifying it. What I ask Marika to upload in the screen that you can see, and for you, Ken, that you're remote, we have the project list in the screen. This project list was it's not that we developed it, we didn't invent it, but just we rearranged it in the way that it's now, which in my modest opinion, I think it's more nice looking and easy to work with. We did rearrange it in the prioritization working group that I chaired, and so that this is the project list that we already have in the GNSO. It is updated once in a while mainly by Liz. Thank you, Liz, for all the work and by staff. So that's the idea of the session today. This morning, I've been checking our list, our council list, and I don't want to take a lot of time, but just share with you some thoughts that we exchange in our council list. Let me find the email about if we should use a prioritization process, if we didn't want to use it, if it's needed or not. One thing that I would like to share with you, it's during the work that we had in the working team, what I realized, and it was, maybe it sounds like an obvious thing, but it was not when we were working in it. For every council member that were participating in the working group, the priorities were totally different because of different reasons, because they were from different stakeholder groups, they had different interests in different things that were related to GNSO, but all of them were part of projects of the GNSO list. So how, my big question after the long work we did, and Wolf was in that group, and Jamie also, Chuck did a lot of work with us also, how to put priorities in different projects that are differently relevant for every council member? How can you build a prioritization when, for example, I remember vertical integration working team, some gave zero to it and some others gave the highest, and they have the reasons for. So I don't want to take more time, just share with you some thoughts in the list. Some of us thought that it could be value to have this process done once in a while because it could improve general awareness by the council members of the working that it's going on in the GNSO, which is could be a valuable tool for leadership in figuring the degree of consensus of the relative value of the different projects. Others thought that maybe it was also a question done to Stefan and myself as council. Candidates for chair. Sorry, it's the Spanish that comes to my mind and stop my English. So we both had different views. I had the view that maybe we could enhance the participation in the GNSO, making it more broader and having more people working in the working teams. And Stefan thought that maybe it could be good to focus more on relevant projects, which I think both visions are fine and different. So floor is open to any of you. You want to comment? I think I've talked too much. And I open a list. Maybe... Ken, you want to add something to what I said? You also participated in the working team. You were our staff guy.
Thank you, Olga. No, I don't have anything to add at the moment.
Thank you. Comments, thoughts, Jamie.
Well, one consideration on your talk is that prioritization is not as much as what to do. It tells also what not to do. And I think to focus in the highest priorities, we must defer or postpone or eliminate the lowest priorities. So, but this is a decision that must be made by the leadership. Prioritization does not involve decision. Prioritization gives the means and the information for leadership to make decisions. So the main decision would be to decide which projects should be kept apart and waiting, which ones should be given the more focus and resources. That's my opinion. But many of the council members expect that prioritization, the prioritization process, should include some decision. Decision is something that is done afterwards. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Jamie. Michael.
So I think we've been talking about this prioritization exercise for about 18 months now, and I think it's pretty obvious that it hasn't really come to any consensus amongst the council. As Olga said, we all have different priorities. I don't think that's really ever going to change. But where we're at today, my understanding is really that the staff and the GNSO, as of the work that's on the table as of today that's been approved by resolution, is not really overwhelming, that we have, you know, enough staff to do the work currently. I mean, I'd love to hear from the staff on that, whether that's true or not. But that's sort of my view, is that as of today, everything seems to be going okay with the work that's out there. But looking towards the future, as we, you know, many of us still want to add new things to the GNSO's plate constantly, I would suggest that we need to, as a part of all of our future resolutions to the commission, a working group, or otherwise, we do a prioritization exercise at that point and give staff our view of where the new project fits in to the ongoing project tax list and priorities. If we could just sort of agree on some, if we could somehow agree on some objective criteria for how certain types of things would be prioritized over other certain types of things, that might be helpful, but I don't necessarily think that's going to be possible either. I think they're just going to have to take it case by case with each new PDP or work team or whatever issue, and again, come to agreement at that time as to where it should be prioritized.
Thank you, Mike. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think Mike makes a very good point, and I think it will become very relevant in the discussion this afternoon, for example, on the recommendations of the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, because that group has a list of, I think, 14 recommendations, all of which require further work, either the creation of a working group or a drafting team, staff work. So I think the suggestion of maybe looking at work that's coming in, of kind of prioritizing maybe that, those efforts, and because that's not the only working group that comes up with recommendations requiring more work. There are other in the pipeline, IRTP, that probably have more work that will come from them from that. So maybe it's easier indeed prioritizing work that's coming in instead of trying to prioritize efforts that are already ongoing, as there are big differences in opinion on whether it should be put on hold, stopped, worked harder to finish it early. So it might be worth considering.
Thank you, Marika. Adrian.
I think Mike brings up a good point, but for me it's about trying to reconcile when you do the prioritisation. And the issue that I have is that when a motion is passed, oftentimes there are dates built within those motions, and it's almost that we need to do the prioritisation before a motion can be passed, or otherwise, you know, be conscious of the date that goes in there. Sometimes we have no, you know, if the board's passed on something, we have no flexibility with the date, and so that sticks. But you're always going to have to throw something out of the bucket, you know. And my organisation, we do this all the time, and simply have a bucket. The bucket's full of three different things: they're must-haves, should-haves, and nice-to-haves, and they're bodies of work. And when something comes in, the first thing to get taken out of the bucket, by way of body of work, are the nice-to-haves. And that's how we continually do our prioritisation of all the tasks that we're working on internally. So I guess two points coming out of that is I don't think you're ever going to get away from continual prioritisation, including those that are currently being worked on, as they will always be shifted down the order when something new comes in. So you need to have a sense of what is the prioritisation of the current workload. Otherwise, how do you move something out when something new comes in? That's number one. Number two is, moreover, the timing of prioritisation. When do we sit down and work out when something can slot in, I think is also paramount, because as I said earlier, when we build in timelines into motions and so on and so forth, oftentimes we're doing that without understanding the implications of what that will do to our current prioritisation. I hope I made some sense in my Australian. Thank you. Rosemary was with me the whole way.
Thank you, Adrian. Rosemary, you wanted to talk? No. Sure.
Throw in a tuppence worth, continuing now that everyone's got their Australian ear into gear. And Adrian's idea of just talking about the way his organisation does things, that's what I've been thinking, that in my little organisation we have a once-a-year strategy planning session, and we work out at an overarching level what the priorities are going to be, because we're tiny. There's really just a few of us. So lots of people want us to do all sorts of things, and we just have to have a way of focusing on what we can do with our resources. And that's the other thing for me, that prioritising without reference to the resources that are available, either in the staff or in the community, is just not practical. So for me, some sort of prioritisation would go back to... Adrian's waving Olga, but I think we can just leave him for just a moment. Goes back to a kind of the strategic plan, operational plan, those kind of administrative scaffolding that we've put in place for the whole organisation. The issue for me is that this is ICANN, where stuff can come up from the community. And so I think there's a conundrum for us all the time in trying to use corporate structures, which are very helpful, but in this context where the community leads the discussion. So,
thank you, Rosemary. Adrian.
Yeah, great points, Rosemary. You know what, I put it down to, and there'll be many people out here that understand this far better than I, but software development and the way we do it internally is probably not a bad model to follow, and that we have a set release time.
And within that release, as I say, we have these different categories of items. But you may have a bug come up. And you know, I'm doing an analogy for what may come up from the community, from what you were saying. And that bug needs to get addressed immediately. That gets thrown into the release, but the expense of something. And as I say, that's where you need to do it. So there are other methodologies we can certainly follow. And when we had this discussion way back then, that was where I sort of started this basis of discussion. One point I wanted to bring up about something you were discussing was about the implications to staff. And I think that that's key here. I think that oftentimes we look at the GNSO, you know, us around the table and what our bandwidth is, but I don't know that there is a great understanding always of what the staff's bandwidth is, and oftentimes we can take advantage of that. And I think to what we need is some sort of operational single point that we can go to within staff to say at every time when we go to prioritise work from what we can do, at the same time prioritising from what is available bandwidth to them. Otherwise, we end up either A, stretching them too thin and burning them out, or B, not being able to hit deadlines. And that's not necessarily their fault. In fact, it's not their fault in that circumstance. So I just want to make sure that whatever ingredient we do, I would like to ensure that we are respectful to the staff's bandwidth that support this. Because every single time we do something, we do require the support of the staff to assist.
Thank you, Adrian. Other comments? Yes. Alan.
Thank you. I think one of the issues that we have to remember is we're not talking about a single pool of centrally managed people. In terms of staff, there is certainly a finite amount of work they can do, even with the 40% above their 8 hours a day they do right now. Nevertheless, in the reasonable term, if indeed there is more work to be done in the GNSO than the current staff can do, then one has to try to make an argument for more staff. But the volunteers is a completely different set of pool of resources. On the projects that come top-down, vertical integration is the best example, perhaps, there's an awful lot of council involvement or counselor involvement. On some of the other PDPs, certainly on PEDNR, there are no formal counselors on the PDP. IRTP, I don't know how many there are. An awful lot, and Marika says there are none. So an awful lot of the resources are community resources, which, although not infinite, is a different pool than we're talking about here, and it is possible to try to recruit new people into it. So it's not just the staff of programmers, and they can only do certain hours, number of hours a day. It's an elastic staff in terms of the volunteer work, and very often quite different people involved in one thing than another. So when we try to prioritize it, it's very much an issue of looking at whose time are we prioritizing. It's not all out of a single pool, which is why the single prioritized list doesn't really make a lot of sense in some cases.
I know, Marika, you want to talk. Just one clarification, Alan. You said that it is could be possible to recruit more people from the community. That's what you said?
That is what I said.
I didn't get the sentence complete. Margie, please.
Thank you. It's Margie. Yeah, I wanted to follow up on Adrian's comment. From the staff perspective, it all depends on how much work the volunteers are going to do in the working group. And I'll just give an example. We jumped into the morality and public order discussion fairly quickly in a very tight time frame. And at the time that came up, I believe Liz, you know, indicated that we were pretty heavy on staff load, and the commitment was that the volunteers would do most of the work. Well, it turned out that that wasn't the case. As we got close to publishing the report, it got thrown on my shoulders. And, you know, I mean, it's part of the job, but it wasn't the expectation when we came into doing that project. And so I spent hours and hours of writing this report with very little input or writing help from the drafting team or the group. So a lot of it has to do with how much the volunteers are willing to do up front and to stick with that commitment. Because, you know, even if we say we can support it, in the end, if everything gets thrown to staff when it wasn't intended to be initially, that essentially upsets the other work that that particular staff person happens to be doing. So I just want to, you know, raise that issue. And then the other thing I think you have to think about is really the council's bandwidth, because I think we've seen already situations where we're voting on things that the council members have not fully analyzed and spent the time to understand the issues. And you're dealing with very significant issues that have consequences in the marketplace or even in just procedural. And I think, you know, when we're too busy, we rush through, or you, not we, but the council rushes through making decisions and not really understanding what the implications are for the decisions. So I just want, you know, you to think of that as well.
Thank you, Margie. I have Adrian and Stefan. Adrian.
All of the points I've heard today have been, you know, very good, and I think that there's plenty to glean from them. My question is, what are we doing? What's the objective here? And you know, I'm looking at my two vice chairs here for some assistance. But what's the end goal here? What is this debate going to bring? And what do you hope to achieve?
May I comment? The name of the session is Development of Criteria for Initiating New Projects, and the idea came after what we reviewed, what we did in the prioritization working group. So ideally, we could finish the session having just two or three key points and starting to develop this criteria. That's at least this is my idea. Stefan.
Thank you, Olga. I was going to go to the same place that you are at, Adrian, which is the discussion's interesting, but I don't really hear anything that we haven't discussed before. We've been talking about this for the last year, and what I'm really looking for are proposals for a way forward to prioritise our projects. I made a proposal a while back on the list, which would be to have a model-based system, but complement that with some kind of input from the council leaders, that's the chair and the vice chairs, them being at least copied on most of these, if not all of these, working groups and drafting teams and other items and other projects. They have a good view of what's going on, and I think the council chairs could propose to council some kind of prioritisation method, which would stem from, I mean, it would need to start from the model, but this could be augmented by the council chairs proposing something, and then council decides. But we need to have, I think, some kind of input to move things forward and say, does council think this project is more important than this? And I don't think it can only be based on the way we did things in Brussels, which was overly complicated. I think most of us felt that way.
Adrian, someone else from this side. Rosemary before, Adrian? Or Adrian, go ahead.
Yes. Sure. Stefan, I'm more than happy to support that way forward. I see no harm in giving it a shot. So if I'm understanding you correctly, just let me sort of throw it back at you. So the council would come up with some, I'll say loose framework, but you know, maybe loose isn't the right word, but a framework then, of prioritisation, which we would then secede to our elected leaders of the council. And should they do any final tightening up of that framework themselves and then propose that back to council? Is that what I'm understanding?
What I'm saying is that the model system should be simpler.
And
yes. A simpler model would probably not be good enough to just determine prioritisation.
Agreed.
So the council leaders must step in and say, council, do you agree that this and this and this project is important and should be ranked above the others? Council says yes or no, we move on.
Yes. And how would you handle a... so that's okay with your existing prioritisation for existing tasks? And then how would you input a new task into that model?
It actually works better when you input a new task, because then you can ask straight away, which task would you need to push aside to make room for this new task?
And who answers?
Council. The council answers that. I don't think it should be anything but a council decision.
Yeah, I think that's where you're going to run into problems again, because once again, as we know, we've already got competing...
I don't think it should be... I don't think it can be just a council leader's decision to push out a topic.
Christina? Oh, Jamie or Christina? Who was first? Ladies first. Go ahead, Christina.
Thank you, Jamie. I am intrigued by your suggestion, Stefan, but I also think that one difficulty that we need to address is when it comes to the council, how exactly do we allocate that? And one option that I think we might want to look at that perhaps we didn't explore as fully as we could would be to essentially devise a point system, and each counselor would be allocated a certain number of points that they could then allocate to particular tasks accordingly. So if there's a project that I absolutely feel has to happen and I really want to, I could theoretically allocate all of my prioritization points to it. And conversely, if there's something that I didn't think was important, you know, then I could do the converse. And I think one of the issues that we ran into in Brussels, from my perspective, is that there was nothing built into the system for me allocating everything as high or whatever the actual system was. I didn't have to make any trade-offs. And I think to a certain extent, we all need to decide what the trade-offs are, as opposed to saying, well, we think everything is equally important, because otherwise we end up back where we started.
We have some people in the queue. Would you mind waiting a little bit? I have Rosemary, Jamie, Tim, and Stefan. Sorry, Jamie. I think Rosemary was first. Thank you.
For me, I'd like to suggest three questions to maybe cut through all this. If a project is coming forward, so I'm starting from a position that we have an existing workload that needs to be finished, but if a project is coming forward, then I would suggest the proponents of the project include some information about why this is a priority for ICANN, and that for me is reference to the Strat Plan and the affirmation of commitments. The second would be a question that says, is this a higher priority than existing GNSO work? And then the third question is, do we have the resources to do this work, both staff and, to take Alan's important point, community resources? So my suggestion is that we try that the next time a piece of work comes floating by and see what comes out of it. Do we have the resources, staff resources, Stefan, and community resources?
Well, just a comment. I think it's a very interesting approach. So when a new project comes, make a kind of a first analysis, great gross analysis. Okay, thank you. It's Rosemary. It's Jamie.
Finally. Well, I'm happy to be left after Rosemary, because I can comment her proposition. So, as I understood, Stefan, as I understood, your proposition was to give, was to have a simpler model. You don't take aside the need for a model to achieve some, because I think we are parting from a work that already has been done, and I think the harder part has been done in Brussels. That is to achieve some kind of degree of consensus and awareness of all the councillors on the ongoing project. So once we have a structure of priorities for the ongoing projects, then a project that comes in can fit. Or either the proponents or even leadership can fit this and come back to the council and say, well, we think this fits in this this structure, but in this point of the structure. What do you think? Should we go in this point or and delay or defer some other projects? I don't know if for me, I don't have an opinion now if it's the proponents that should be do that or leadership or a leadership role. But and I don't know also if the proponents are very acquainted with the amount of staff or resources, community resources that can be. So I wouldn't be very concerned about the proponents talking about resources. I would leave this to the leadership. I think this is a leadership role to value the importance of the project and the available resources. So, the proponents should make a point on the already given structure and where they think it would fit, the new project would fit, and this should be. So we will always need some kind of model. I think that instead of figuring new models, and since I have the strong opinion and feeling, and it's almost a fact that another round of this effort we did in Brussels would be very, very lower in an effort, very, very much less hard work, then I think we should maintain this effort while we don't have another model in place. And we should have at least once a year another round of prioritization.
I have Tim, Stefan, and Jeff. Tim and Alan.
It seems we have a pretty good plate of work already in front of us, right? So I'm not sure that we need any model right at the moment. So I think we do have some time to sit back and maybe relook at how to relook at that model and come up with something that might work a little bit better. I don't think we're in urgent need to use anything at this point. But some of my concerns, I guess, have kind of been touched on, but because the questions I had as far as how you described going forward, Stefan, were how do we tell that we're full, you know, or that, you know, we've got a full plate, and if anything else comes in, we may have to knock something out. Because I guess I'm still a little sort of fuzzy on that whole concept, you know, just what resources do we have available, how do we tell when they've kind of been maxed out. So that might be something to get some thought, and there may not be a clear line or a clear answer, but we should have some kind of general idea. And then the other would just be, you know, some... I don't think it will be that easy to necessarily knock something out all the time either, even when we deem something to be more important. When a policy development process, for example, is so far along the way, it could be very disruptive, you know, if we were to just try to stop that and then reallocate resources or whatever we might do. So we'd want to give some careful thought there, too, as to how we would, you know, if we needed to move resources or stop work or whatever, that, you know, we want to give that very careful thought so that we don't disrupt things, discourage the volunteers or whatever it might be. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. I have Stefan. Stefan.
Yeah, several points there. Just to come back to what you were saying, Jamie, the basis of what I was saying was to keep the work that's been done already, because I don't think we should throw away 6 months or more of work on a model. So that's why I was combining a model and leadership approach as you described. But there are other approaches. My main focus on this today, in this session, is to come out of the session with some sense of direction of where we go now. So I have other ideas, and I'm sure most of us have other ideas. I mean, there was one that's been floating around the registrars, which I think I submitted at some point on the list, which would be to wipe the slate clean at the end of each year and start again and introduce things like Congress does in the States. I'm not saying the first idea that I put forward is the be-all and end-all and the best way forward. What I'm saying is that it would be nice if we came out of this session with more than just another round of discussion, maybe not this session today, but at least this ICANN meeting, so that we can really start to move forwards on this prioritization aspect as soon as you know, we leave Cartagena and we start the new year, as it were, in council terms. There are several, I think, ideas that we can explore. I'm not sure what the mechanism to explore them is, There's the prioritization drafting team is still in existence, isn't it?
It depends on the council decision. It's I'm still here. It's Wolf. It's Jamie. Maybe we can resuscitate.
The work was finished and presented, mm-hmm. so it would be another
yeah.
work.
Yeah. Jeff.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad this topic's being discussed because this is one of those topics that's discussed over and over again by the policy development process work team. It constantly comes up as far as with respect to PDPs, how that's prioritized. And I think one of the issues we keep grappling with in that group, and I'm not advocating any, none of us are advocating any changes to this, but the reality is that there's such a low threshold to initiate a PDP that when you do this exercise, when you have one group that may not constitute a majority of the council, that could be fairly small percentage of the council that wants an issue raised. I think the questions that Rosemary raised are exactly the right ones, but you have this conflict of when you get a small percentage of one house or even a majority of one house but none of the other house, you could still initiate the PDP. And then how do you determine where that fits in the priority? I mean, does that just become another session of, I hate this term, and Mike reminded me of it yesterday, is that another gaming technique, right, where you have one house that wants an issue to be mm-hmm. raised and for a policy development process, the council initiates the PDP because it's met the threshold, and now all of a sudden you have another decision at the council level as to where to put that in the priority. Could the other house just basically say, well, we don't think that's a priority at all, we didn't want it in the first place, so basically it's put at the very bottom of the list. It's a tough issue to deal with. It's one that we have to, and frankly, the next topic, which is the role of the council, I mean, this is it. This is, in my mind, this is one of the primary roles of the council, is to manage the process and to spend more time on thinking about how we get the resources to do the issues that we have or to do new issues. So this is it. This is the job of the council. This is very important. And I think there are tough issues we need to deal with and need to consider when we do prioritize this stuff.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I have Alan, Marika, Wolf, and Jamie, and Tim.
Okay, one of the issues I was going to raise, Jeff has just alluded to, I'll put it in slightly different words. We don't want a position where one group within council says we don't have the resources and effectively has a veto over something they didn't want to begin with. That's a real danger of that happening. The second thing is, I'll ask a radical question. I'll probably get stoned for it. To what extent is this whole thing a red herring? I think we are reacting to the huge workload we've taken on over the last couple of years associated with the council reorganization. On that top list, 4 of the 11 issues are policy issues. 7 of the 11 issues are administrative overhead issues. Most of them should go away. And that load is going down right now. The PDP work team is still heavily in the middle of it, but that's probably the only one which is really heavily in it. The other ones are almost, we meet occasionally, or we're really almost finished, or we have some tweaking to do. I don't think the workload is all that high if you extract the overhead ones, which we should not be spending all of our time on. Council has to get past the point of being process limited, that is, process focused and oriented, and get back to the work we're supposed to be here doing.
Sorry, thank you, Alan. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just in first in response to Alan's point as well, if you'd actually look at the list of all the projects, there are actually only 3 PDPs on there, if we're talking about policy being the main objective or main role of the council. There are actually 3 PDPs, and all the other activities are either operational or other efforts with other groups. And coming back to that as well, I think any kind of prioritization we need to look at as well, where these projects are, at what stage, because I think it's very tempting when working groups put out recommendations to say, oh, well, they're done their work, people have heard the issue over and over, and put that then to the backdrop. I mean, Fast Flux is an example there where that's still on the to-do list, but people kind of have lost interest. It took a long time for the group actually to produce its recommendations and get to where they were, and now no one's really interested in taking that forward. So recommendations stay lying on the shelf and don't get done, and I think that's a worrying thing. So it would need to be some kind of division as well between initiation of projects, projects that are ongoing, but also recommendations and where they fall. And coming back to the point that Christina makes, I think it's very worth maybe looking as well as one of the examples. I know it's a system that, for example, the European Parliament uses to manage their workload, where every political party gets allocated a number of points that they can spend on projects. So people then really think carefully what is it that they value most, or the projects that they want to carry out throughout their term. And as well, it promotes as well cooperation with others, because you don't want to spend all your points by yourself. You preferably share that with other groups if they also consider that a priority. So I think that might be one of the other examples or project or models that might be further explored if that's the will of the council.
Thank you, Marika. I have Wolf.
Thank you. Wolf Knoben speaking. I also try to find out which really practical steps we could move forward. And I think the prioritization is, for us, you know, should have two elements, you know. And the one is, you know, that all what comes up from the different interested groups could find a kind of coverage here in this prioritization process on the one hand, and on the other hand, the question is then how to, from the management side, how to manage it. And for this, I think Stefan's approach is something with which I could find a way to do so. Well, we have to work it out in detail more, really. So what is behind? So that means that those both elements, so coming in from the more broader community or council basis, some interest in, and then filtering it or some structuring it from the management point of view. And the other point is, it is really essential, very early, to link that process to what staff is doing. So really, it could not be the case that we coming up discussing and then come up with a priority list and then going to hand it over to staff and say, okay, that's it, just do it. Or so not depending on the resources, but just depending on the process, because staff themselves, they are doing strategic work in advance, they are doing prioritization in advance, and I can't remember that there was any link at the time being to discuss that with staff or with staff management about it, how to interlink that, at what time we should start. And I think that's very essential, that we have then a more combined step forward. So that's my opinion.
Thank you, Wolf. I have Jamie and Tim. And
I would like first to bring us back to the very title of our meeting today, development of criteria for initiating new projects. For me, in the end, this comes back to two aspects. One is the requirement, I think Rosemary brought this, and I think it was a great contribution. I think we should stipulate some requirements for the proponents. And I would suggest that somebody, or I don't think we need a task group to come up with requirements for the proponents of a new project. I think we could begin with Rosemary's proposition and try to have some degree of consensus in the list. I don't know if we need a group, a formal group, to another project to make requirements for proponents. And the other thing would be on Jeff's suggestion to have voting thresholds on the council to initiate a, it's not a PDP, it's a project, so we should not be so formal and have some kind of I don't know if we must take into account the houses and probably, but I think our work should be divided in these two ways. But I'm glad that Marika brought something. We are so glad, so gladly initiating things, and we are not so serious when we finish them. And I think prioritization comes about with this also. And I think there are two ways to finish project. One is happily congratulating each other because the group and the project came to an end and achieved its results. Okay, everybody is glad. But the other one is when something is out of date or for any reason, it needs to be canceled. And this requires, I think, a team expressed some concerns, but this decision should be taken by the council too and should be brought to the council by the leadership. It's not so happy, but it's something that should be done.
Thank you, Jamie. I have Tim and someone else. And Rosemary. Tim, please.
As far as you know, the point system and thing that like Christina suggested, and I think there's some merit in that. My concern would be, and I think Jeff raised very good points too about the threshold being low. So my concerns there, as Alan said, on one hand, you know, we don't want to create a situation where a single stakeholder group could potentially just block progress. But on the other hand, I think that only you know, a point system or something of that nature doesn't necessarily put the council on work that actually perhaps it should be doing or that should have that priority. So one of the things I think that I would like us to look at is impact, whether it's impact on perhaps existing projects, you know, for example, new GTLD, something that would have an impact on delaying or progressing new GTLDs would certainly, I would hope, have a high priority with the council right now. Something that has an impact, a demonstrated impact on registrants should certainly have a high priority. And in those kinds of things, I think that the point system wouldn't necessarily solve all the problems. So I think impact is something we need to look at as well in various areas. And as far as the existing model that we had, I just wanted to clarify something I kind of referred to earlier, that we've gone through this prioritization model already with the one that we've come up with. I think that's good. So what I'm suggesting is that we stick with that for now, that we don't do that exercise again until we have a model that a new model that we all agree with is, will work much better. So that doesn't mean we can't initiate new projects or new things that come up. Although I think our plate's pretty full. But I don't think we need to go through this prioritization process again. If anyone was indicating that, I'd like to discuss that further.
Thank you very much, Tim. We have only 5 minutes left. I have taken notes of all what has been said in the session. I think that perhaps I may summarize, and please disagree with me if I'm wrong. I think Rosemary did a very interesting suggestion of doing first evaluation with some key questions about what's new, if it's really relevant. I think Jeff and Tim also made very interesting comments about avoiding the sense in the council of a stakeholder group or a constituency taking perhaps capturing the kind of projects that are being proposed to the council. Then I think Stefan made a very good suggestion about using a model. Not sure if we agree in using the same model or a new one. I don't have that sense now, but maybe we can think about it. And then once the model gives an output, someone mentioned about giving points to the projects. I don't recall who did that, but I think it could be at to the model, then the leaders could make a suggestion to the council, and then the council decides. I'm missing something. Christina suggested about the parliament that could be also part of the revising the model and adding it to the process. And what else did I write?
one question comes to my mind, and it was mentioned by several people that has been speaking. It's about the staff. I think staff is great, but they have their limitations. So it's difficult for me, or maybe for some of you, knowing when we are asking too much from them, their limited resources. Perhaps we could interact with them in the first part of the process and get to know if they're available or not. Stefan said that the model should be simple, and I agree with that. And what else? As mainly things that have been said. So my question to the group of you, to the council, is how could we perhaps draft some, that's my idea, I may of course disagree with me if you don't like it, maybe we can get some of these points that were raised today and we draft something and we share into the group. Maybe we can rebuild a very small drafting team for this. How do you think we should move forward with this idea? I think some of them were very interesting ideas, and we should maybe write down in a small draft document and share with the council. What do you think? Rosemary.
May I ask a question before
sure.
we respond to that? I just wanted to engage Jeff in this discussion, because it seems to me the policy development working group, I think, I just want to be sure whether there is anything coming out of that process that could inform this discussion that we're about to have on criteria. It just seems to me that there's been such a lot of effort put into thinking about policy setting, policy development there, that we must be sure to capture anything that's relevant from that work into this discussion.
Thank you, Rosemary. Jeff?
Yeah, so there's a little bit. I think in the initial report that the PDP work team put out, we were deferring to this exercise by the council to help inform that process. There are some recommendations so far in the initial report, and we'll probably make it through to the final report, that talk about thresholds for raising an issue in the first place, kind of the pre-PDP activities. But I think the point was raised, it really only applies to policy development, and it doesn't apply to all the administrative and some of the other activities that the council is engaged in. So there's a little bit, and Marika and I can we can extrapolate some of the provisions from what we have right now and send it around to the council to see if it helps, or at least to the team that's created.
Tim?
I need to turn my mic off, sorry. In regards to that, the policy, the PDP process, of course, it's used for two types of policy. There's policy that results in consensus policy, but could also be used in another type of policy that has just as important of impact, but wouldn't necessarily result in what contracted parties, for example, would consider consensus policy. So whenever we are looking at impact, I think that's an important factor to keep in mind too, and prioritizing, because impact on contracted parties or the impact of a consensus policy on registrants or whatever, is different than other types of policy that we might look at. So.
Thank you, Tim. Stefan?
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to say that although I understand the ideas of thresholds, points, and other systems, I think one of the problems that we've had is not keeping this simple, and that's why we haven't been able to come to a solution so far. So I would advocate that we try, and I've tried to put forward solutions that could be implemented with what we've done in a simple, timely manner. And that's something that I think we should all, maybe strive towards, because otherwise I can see us continuing to talk about, the discussion itself is extremely interesting, obviously, and we should have it. But if we're looking to an actual solution to this problem, then perhaps we need to keep it simple.
Tim.
I don't disagree, Stefan. I wouldn't want to go too far. When the teacher presented to me a simple problem when I was in sixth grade is much different than a simple problem, when you're halfway through college. So things get more complicated as we get older, And I think we're in a pretty impactful situation here. So simple, we just need to keep it relative.
So we are on time. Do the question again. Should we draft something? Build a small drafting team? What do you think, Stefan? Yeah, I agree. So you think it's a good idea to start a small drafting team? I would volunteer. I can start drafting my notes from this session. That's a start. Rosemary, you volunteer or you want to say something? You volunteer, right?
I'm suggesting a new structure. Instead of a drafting team, could we have a coffee club? Or some sort of just informal little get-together and have a first go at this.
Yeah, I understand your point, but at a certain point, you need some formality of commitment, because if not, then people don't show up. And I know everyone is so busy. So I can start with a draft, and maybe other volunteers could let us know in the council list if you think that's a good idea. Some other volunteers would like to join me. Rosemary, Wolf, Stefan. Great, we have a team. Jamie? Yes, Jamie, come on. Mercosur. And, well, yep. Stefan says, get team. Okay, I think we have a plan. We have something to do. We have a small drafting team. Thank you very much for being so active and participants in this session today. And we have a break, and we meet again at 10:30. Thank you very much.